May your name be praised, God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is a new business in town, and the name is the Beer Road Bouncers. How many of you know that business? All right. On Friday, I took my kids there, and they played, and they played for about 45 minutes. And my son came out, and he gave me a squeezy hug. And you say, you're the best dad in the whole world. Because I took him to where he wants to go. And now each time I give them something that they really want, not something they need, something that they want, they shower blessings on me and proclaim me as the king of the universe and call me the best father in the whole world. But there are times that I would do something and I would discipline them and they would not like it. And I'm sure deep in their mind they are saying, this guy is crazy. But I love my kids. Amen. And I have a great fellowship with them. I discipline them like crazy. Because I am so scared of what I see in America. So I tell my kids, you try that, you're going to Cameroon. If you try it, I'm shipping you back to Cameroon. And so they want to obey me because I have a responsibility to take care of them. Amen? So there are times all of them will run to my room and they will want to play with me. They will want to give me squishy hugs and kisses. Elizabeth will give me like 20 good nights. Even when you put her in bed, she will look for a reason to come out and kind of she just wants to play around with daddy. And I love it. And sometimes they will all want to come and sleep in my room. You know, one thing that happened is that there was a time, this may sound crazy to you, but there was a day that all of them, including Philomena and Confidence, had a sleepover in my room. How is that? I love people. So when all them they got into my room and some of them put blankets on the floor, I was sleeping on the beds with the kids and they were sleeping on the floor. It was a great time of fellowship. So Philomena is my big baby. Confidence is my big baby. I'm a father to all of them. Amen? And I love being a father. I love fellowshipping with these kids. And when I look at them, sometimes I cry because I grew up right to adulthood until I got married, I never had a single opportunity, a single chance to tell somebody, you are my father. I grew up never having the privilege of a father giving me a kiss like I do to my kids. I grew up not having a father that I can run to and complain or ask something from. Because my father, some of you know my story. I grew up not knowing who my father was because he was a delinquent. And when he met with my mom, I happened, and he ran away because that was a taboo. You couldn't have a baby before you go to marriage. And that happened, and he ran away, and I grew up not knowing who he was. And I never had any opportunity, any privilege to call somebody my father. I grew up not having the opportunities that my kids are having right now. I grew up not seeing somebody sitting next to me and telling me this is wrong or this is right. I grew up without a father. I grew up without an earthly father. And so when I have the privilege of being a father to people today, I thank God so much. Amen. I thank God. That is why some of you were asking me the question, why do you have so many people in your home? It's because I am a father and I want people around me. So if you have more people, ship them to my house. We have room. Amen? And I love these kids. And Elizabeth is one of the greatest kids with a lot of gifts that I've never seen. So last year, she gave her life to Christ. And she asked me, when am I going to be baptized? I want to warn you. Think before you make a promise to your kids. Hello? Don't be quick to say, I will do this. Think and think again before you make that promise to them, because you will pay. It's a debt and you will pay it. So when she gave her life to Christ, she asked me, when are you going to be baptized? I look at her and I say, you are sick. So we can just do your birthday together with your baptism. And I made that promise without actually thinking through what I was saying. And it went through her mind and it stays there. By faith, Elizabeth believed that Dad promised her that they're going to have a great birthday party, and it will be a birthday party together with her baptism. And by faith, she went ahead telling her friends, inviting her friends for the party. And she doesn't know whether I have money or not. But she believes that her father can do this. She trusts me that I can do this. And she's moving around. And I think the only person that asked me was Pastor Timothy. So Elizabeth is getting baptized. I'm like, what? Because I can't remember when I made that promise, but I made that promise. And so she is moving around inviting friends and telling people on the 24th of January, there's going to be double party, baptism and birthday celebration. So Elizabeth has enough faith and she trusts the Father that she can go ahead with the plans even without asking the Father, do you have money to do this? Or are we still going to do this? So she trusts me, and she is moving ahead with the plans. And it breaks my heart if I will not do it. Because a promise made should be a promise fulfilled. Amen? I have come this morning to share with you just briefly part of my testimony, because it is a testimony that when I grew up without a father, growing up not having somebody to call my father, not having somebody to teach me or to go hunting. We don't do hunting like you do. Somebody to take me out and have a walk with me as a father. I never had any of those. But you know what? I told myself that none of those things is going to define who I am today. And I've come to encourage you, because I know that many of us are going through one challenging situation or the other. It may be an abused father. It may be that you are trusting God for something and it's not forthcoming. It may be that you are sick. It may be discouragement. It may be the lies of the enemy. All these things, I have come to announce to you that the Father knows you. Amen? The Father knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through right now. And He has a better way of doing things than we think we do. Do you know you don't know what you want? Hello? You don't know what you want. Somebody knows what you want better than you do. And that person is your Father. So the title for today is, The Father Knows Me. The Father knows me. Let's get to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 3 to 6. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse 4, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. And 6, it says, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. This is a powerful text, and we're going to read the rest of it later. But I am looking at a Father who knows everything about me, who is able to bless me beyond what I'm asking Him for. I'm looking at a Father who, before the foundations of the world, He chose me. I'm looking at a Father who saw my unformed body before I was created. I'm looking at a Father who has the plans for me. He knows the plans He has for me. And He said, these plans are to prosper me. I'm looking at a Father who is able to see me through every hill, and he will bring me right down to where I am supposed to be. I'm looking at a Father who loves me so, so much. I was sharing this morning briefly, and I heard somebody say, it is difficult for them to really accept and receive fully the love of God because of what they went through with their earthly fathers. How many of us are there today with that kind of a situation? You might not want to lift up your hand, but many of us. Many of us have been abused in the past by our parents. And somehow, it is difficult for us now to look at God and see him as a perfect father, a good, good father. Because we were abused, because the picture of an earthly father portrays who our God is supposed to be. But that is the contrary, what is happening today. Many kids have been abused by their parents. And because of that, it hinders them from receiving the love of God. But I want to say this morning, that shouldn't be your portion. Amen? Because Jesus Christ has set you free. And Paul says that he that the Son of God sets free is free indeed. So if you are not fully receiving the love of the Father because of your earthly father, I want you to bypass that. I want you to rise up and say, I am not a victim, but I am a victor. Amen? We are winners in Christ, that when Jesus comes in us, he transforms us, like Dirk said this morning, that he lives his life in us. And we just need to submit to him. And let's go to the text. We're going to stay in the text a little bit. It says, blessed, I want you to look verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So who is the giver? Jesus, God is the giver. And what is he giving us? He's giving us blessing. What is the object? It said, every spiritual blessing. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The French people will say pater. Pater is a kind of crushed French meaning father. And coincidentally, when I was looking up the word father in Greek, it actually says pater. Okay? It's a life giver. It's an originator. Somebody who originates. Somebody who gives life. That is who a father is supposed to be. So God is being portrayed here as a father. And by the way, in the New Testament, you will find about 120 times this word father referring to our God. That he is a life giver. He is our father. And he's saying that he has given us blessings. Let's look at what he's saying. He has blessed us. Where has he blessed us? In Christ Jesus. Amen. He has blessed us in Christ Jesus. He hasn't blessed you out of Jesus Christ. So every blessing, every good health, everything that you want to talk about, prosperity or whatever you want to call it or define it in terms of blessing, it has to be found in Jesus Christ. And any blessing that is out of Jesus Christ is completely out of place. Because he's saying that, look at the word in that particular passage, the word in appears about 4 times, that everything we have, life, good health, fathers, mothers, and friends, and everything, it has to be in Jesus Christ. It said, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us every blessing that we need. Sometimes we don't get the real blessings because we are not in Jesus Christ. And I don't mean to offend you. I mean it. Amen? Sometimes we do not get the right blessings because we are not in Jesus Christ. Remember that Satan is a faker. He is going to fake. He is going to imitate. He is going to try to present to you the exact kind of blessing that Jesus is trying to present to us. But his is fake. So what do you need? What will help you to know which one is God and which one is the devil? You have to be in Jesus Christ. That when we are not in Jesus Christ, it is difficult for us to see and to understand the blessings that we have in Christ. By the way, when it says that in Jesus Christ, it actually is saying that there is no blessing out of Jesus Christ. And I want you to not look at people who are rich and say they are blessed. Hello? Because here in this passage, Paul is not going to talk about money. He's never going to talk about wealth. He's not going to talk about buildings. He is talking about what? Spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. And so when I read and look at the word spiritual blessing, what does it mean? Why is he not talking about physical blessing? Because I am here now and I want the blessings physical. That is a problem with the church. That is the problem with Christians, because we want the physical blessings. But what is God saying? He's saying that I have blessed you with every, what? Spiritual blessing. He didn't say I have blessed with some of the spiritual blessings. He is saying I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. And he is going to go ahead in enumerating all these blessings. We've been adopted. We have the gift. We have received grace. We have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. We have all these things that will see us through this race. So those spiritual blessings, when he talks of spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, I'm thinking, what is he saying? And this is what the Bible says. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, set your minds on things above. When we receive Jesus Christ, we have to set our minds on things above. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, it says that our inheritance is kept in heaven. So are you seeing where the spiritual blessing is coming from in the heavenly realms? It says that blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, that he has caused us to be born again, and he has given us new life, and that this life is incorruptible, it can never perish, and that it is being kept in heaven for us. Now, I want to play a little bit of grammar there. It says, it is being, which means that this life is there because we are seated with Christ Jesus right now. Amen? Can I hear an amen to that? If you do not believe that you are with Christ Jesus right now, I want to announce to you that you are with Christ Jesus. And it says that our blessings are being kept, our inheritance are being kept in heaven. That is verse 4 of 1 Peter. Our inheritance is being kept in heaven. And look at the word being is in a participle form, which means that when we move to verse 5, it says that it is protected by our faith, the power of God, but it has to include your faith. So if your faith is not playing a role of daily putting your trust in the Father, then that inheritance, I'm afraid, will not be your portion. I hear people say you cannot lose your salvation. Hello? You will lose it if you don't take care of it. It says your inheritance is being kept in heaven. So that is the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. In Ephesians, it says that, and God raised us up, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. Okay, look at, somebody read that for me. If you can read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. I love it because it says that, and God raised us up. Raised us up, and that we are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. Now, that doesn't mean the Bible is repeating a lot of things. It's just emphasizing that we are in Christ Jesus. So, somebody found that text? Can you read that for us? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Okay? And made us sit together in the heavenly realms. So, your blessing sometimes is entirely spiritual. And so when you are going through trials, when you are going through persecution, when you are going through things that kind of make you think that God doesn't love you, I want you to think about your blessings. I want you to see your blessings in Christ. There is no blessing out of Jesus Christ. All our blessings must be found in Jesus Christ. And what does it take? It takes faith and a relationship with God to believe and to embrace these blessings. How many of us are living a life that is characterized by anxiety? How many of us are living a life that is characterized by depression, fear, doubt? A life sometimes characterized by all these things because we do not trust the Father enough. I am not saying you are not a Christian enough. I am saying because we do not trust the Father enough. If I trust the Father enough and I'm hit by all these things, I should look up to Him and He will supply the grace that I need. Go to verse 6. It says that He has chosen us. And verse 6 says, to the praise of His glorious grace, which, okay, underline the word, which He has freely given us in the one He loves, in Christ. Okay, so He's emphasizing the word in. So when we are hit with the life struggles, when we are hit with illnesses, with reports from the doctors that there is no hope for you, when we are hit with the lies of the enemy, when we are hit with the fact that we are not beautiful, that we are not well looking, or that we are a waste in the society, when we are hit with all the lies of the enemy, the only thing that will strengthen us and enable us is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If I am standing strong with the Lord Jesus Christ, I will know that He has freely lavished His grace upon me. And that grace is what will enable me to stand tall in the face of trial, to stand tall in the face of persecution, and say, I know my Father. I know who my Father is. I believe my Father knows what I'm going through. I believe that His grace is sufficient for me. It is not time to give up, friends. It is not time to curse God. It is not time to say that I know God doesn't love me. It is time to say I know He chose me. Amen? You did not choose yourself. He chose you. That because He loves us so much, He said, for He chose us, verse 4, He chose us in Him. He chose me in Him. I don't know a lot of English, but in Him, what do you understand by that? He chose us in Christ. That through the lens of Jesus Christ, God sees who you are and He accepts you, He embraces you, and He's saying, come to me. So He is seeing you through Jesus Christ. He chose us before the foundations of the world. He knew that we would reject Him. He knew that we would sin. He knew that we would rebel against Him. And the Bible says, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. And this is what I hear from people. Is God holy? Yep. Is God a good God? Yes. And you can go on, and people will say yes, but when it comes to actually believing that God loves them, people would doubt. When it comes to actually saying, I know that these things are not just written, these things were written for me, people would doubt who God is. And now this is what the enemy would do. Sometimes he will bring pain, and he will ask us, where is your God? He will make us. Cause us to doubt the goodness of God. And He said He chose us to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in Christ Jesus. And now He's going to go ahead and name the blessings, the spiritual blessings. In Him, we have redemption. Amen? That is a blessing. Amen? In Jesus Christ, we have redemption. And how do we have redemption? Through His blood. And gift number two, or blessing number two, it says in Him, the forgiveness of sin. How many of you have been forgiven? I have been forgiven. I don't want to think of my past. Thank God I didn't get to do some of the rough things. But I was a sinner, a worse sinner, because I was without Jesus. It is not the number of things you do that makes you the worst sinner. When you are without Jesus, you are a sinner. Amen? and I was forgiven. I have been adopted. And he says, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fullness, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. Verse 11, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to be put, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Verse 13, I love verse 13 because we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says, and you also, and I want you to put your name there, and you also were included in Christ. Okay, are you seeing the word in Christ again? And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And verse 14, it says that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You have received every blessing that you need to live this life and to overcome. You have received this blessing because it says that the Holy Spirit who lives in you is a guarantee, is a deposit guaranteeing this inheritance. You might not see these blessings physically, but the blessings are there. For he chose us before the foundations of the world. Psalms 139, 13 to 16 says, you brought my inner part into being. God brought your inner part into being. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for you made me with fear and wonder. You made me with fear and wonder. Marvelous are your works, and you know me completely. God knows you completely. Verse 15 says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and the intricacy and put together in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw me unformed. Yet in your book all my days were written before any of them came into being. Now think about who God is. That if God knew you, knew everything about you, and he saw your unformed body, the hair on your head accounted, he knows your name, he knows when you lie down, he knows when you wake up, he knows everything about you, how come will you doubt his goodness? Because he says that everything worketh for the good of those who hate God. Is that what he says? Those who love God. So if you love God, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your challenge, you should believe that he loves you and that he knows everything about you. And this is what it says. When sickness hits, when anxiety comes, when lack of love, the fear, and all these things that the enemy is bringing to us, they come. I want you to remind yourself with Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. I and my wife are in the midst of a jungle now because we are trying to make decisions about her studies. And I will ask you to pray for us in that. We do not want to make those decisions. We want God to guide us. We want God to say, this is what I want you to do. Because he knows the plans. I do not know those plans. He knows them. And I want to trust his love. I want to trust him that he knows the plans he has for me. In Psalms 23, when those things come and hit you and the enemy lie to you, I want you to get up and say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with you. Do not allow the past to define who you are because you are a new person in Jesus Christ. What is your pain? What is your trial? What are you suffering from? I want to let you know that you are loved by the Father. I came this morning not really to preach, but to share to you a love letter that God sent to me to read to you. Many of you have read this letter, but I want you to know that if you're struggling with those fears of I'm not loved, with those fears of I cannot forgive my father because he abused me, if you're struggling with those things that the enemy is pouring into your little brain, I want you to hear this from God. Yeah, because our brains are little. So little. If the enemy is pouring those things into your little brain and he's saying that where is your God? You're not a good Christian. That is why these things are happening to you. If the enemy is lying to you that you're not good enough, I want you to hear this, and this is from God. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hair on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you will live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to know that I knit you together in your mother's womb. I brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who do not know me. I am not distant or angry, but I am a complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I'm your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am a perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plans for you and for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love, my thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you in singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasure possession. I desire to establish you in all my heart and in all my soul, and I want to show you how great and marvelous things that you know nothing of. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, my child, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. I am not far away. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son, Jesus Christ. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And to tell you that I am not counting your sins. I just want you to obey. Jesus died so that you and I could reconcile. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son, Jesus Christ, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate us. Nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I will throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been your father, and will always be your father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting. Have you fully received the love of the Father and trust His love in times of trials? And trust His love. I know how to give good things to my kids. I don't allow them to eat junk. They get mad at me. I don't allow them to go places that will hurt them. I make sure that they do the right things, even if it means I will make them cry. I always make sure that they are safe wherever they are. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says that if you, evil fathers, earthly fathers who are evil, you know how to give good things to your children, how more of your heavenly Father? Have you fully received the love of Jesus? And have you fully submitted to Him? And say, live your life in me. When He says you are good, do you accept it that you are good? When He says you are fearfully and wonderfully created, do you accept that you are fearfully and wonderfully created? When He says you can do this, do you really accept that your Father is saying you are capable of doing this? When He says that that illness, that disease is not going to define who you are, do you really say, God, I embrace this, I accept this, it is never going to define who I am? When He says that you are healed, that your wounds have been healed from the past hurt, do you really say, God, I embrace this coming from a truly loving Father? Or you say, God, I get this, but it is so painful, I cannot let this go. When He says you have been forgiven, can you stand up and say, I want to forgive that person because my Heavenly Father has forgiven me? Whoever you're holding in your heart now and that person is blocking and is acting as an obstacle from you receiving the love of God, that person, that earthly father, will never bring healing to your life. But your Heavenly Father is willing, even right now, to bring healing to your soul. He wants you to know that there is hope for you in Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that He loves you so much that the only thing He had, the only precious thing He had, He gave it up just for you because He loves you. Are you willing to come before Him today and say, God, I embrace your love. I want us to go to God in prayer. If there's anything you want to repent from because you've indicted God so many times, you've rejected His love, and because you want to give up, you want to commit suicide, you want your life to be a depressed life because you do not trust your Father enough, I want to invite you to repent of that. And say, God, I trust you. You're my true Father. And I know you love me. Let's go to God in prayer. If He's asking you to repent, I want you to just come up front here and be on your face and pray to God. If He's asking you to fully embrace His love, I want you to do the same. I want you to say, God, here am I. I have doubted your goodness. And if you've not yet entered into this love relationship with God, and if this is your first time to stand publicly and confess that you want to enter into this love relationship with him, I want to invite you. Your own step will be further. You come right up here. Can you just rise and say, who you say I am, I believe it with all my heart. It is not what people say about you that defines you. It is what God says about you that matters. People may say that you are too fat, that you are too ugly, that you are black or that whatever. That doesn't matter. What God says is what matters. And you might be here this morning that you have some wounds, deep wounds in your heart because of your father or because of somebody in your family. You were abused and you want somebody to pray for you. I just want to invite you to come up. You want healing from God, not from man. As we do that, the worship team is going to come do a song. And if God is moving you, Pastor, I invite you, whoever, just pray for these people. Just maybe go around whoever God wants you to go. Believe the healing power of God. We're in prayers as we do that song. I just want to invite the worship team to do that song. And if the Holy Spirit is moving you to respond to God and embrace His love, I want you to do that.